Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
How good does it get, SK?
Why not us, Troy?
Today, live from the Pinecrest Inn, it's the Smiley Show. So long, everybody.
This is the Smiley Show.
We are thrilled to be joined now on the Smiley Show by a man who has been one of the preeminent storytellers at ESPN across a number of different sports for a number of years, Wright Thompson. And his latest sort of entry at ESPN is Where It Lies. It's an original series. You can find it on the app. It's airing on linear a number of different times. But we're here now, right, to discuss an episode that just went live 2 days ago on The Patch, episode 3. And so something you can go check out right now on the ESPN app. And before we dig into that, right, here's where I want to start. Because obviously this is an idea that's born out of your love for the game of golf, the accessible municipal golf. I'm wondering if you could kind of go back in time and tell me the first muni course you fell in love with, like just how the seed gets planted to get into the game of golf and why this particular type of golf speaks to you.
You know, like a lot of people in the South, like, you know, I grew up playing, thinking golf existed only at the Clarksdale Country Club. Right. And so like that, you know, that playing with my dad and his friends, one of my favorite stories about my dad is that he ran a law firm, and so he would bring, when he was interviewing new lawyers, one of the things they would always do is go play golf. But what these guys didn't know is that if you were too good, you didn't get the job. Because he was like, he's like, any that shoots a 76 is not grinding in the law library. You know? And so, like, he was going out there to see if they were too good. And, but so, like, and then I got to college and started playing, you know, there were munis in the town where I went to school, and then I just started finding them places. And, you know, I mean, I would also kind of love your guys' opinion about this, but, you know, there's a huge difference between sort of what Smiley did and what the rest of us do. You know, I mean, the gulf between professional golf and the golf that most people play, to me, feels as wide as the gulf between me playing horse with my kid and LeBron James, right? Like, that people think because I can go buy the same clubs that they buy that we're doing the same thing, and we're not. And so I really loved finding a community of golfers who were out there because, you know, I love that line in the Episcopal liturgy, we do this in remembrance of you. And golf has always felt to me like a kind of communion, at least at the level that I do it. I mean, I'm really, like, I'm bad, but I really like it. And so, like, I felt like I found my people.
And, right, of course, we're going to talk about The Patch, which is going to debut this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's plenty of other projects that are happening around the country. I can think of a couple, like The Park down in West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
And also Cobbs Creek up in Philadelphia is coming back. They're renovating that golf course, but also it's a place that's going to be public where, you know, people in the community, kids can come out and play the golf course. And very similar to, of course, what we just mentioned, which is The Patch in Augusta National. I've been there, of course, playing in the Masters. I've been as a media member, been as a little kid. Augusta National is the spot, will forever in my heart be like the top of the list. But right down the street, we got a muni opening up, The Patch. So just the contrast, right, between jets flying in, you know, 1 week of the year where everybody's diving into Augusta National, but we know that's not what Augusta is all about. And Augusta National is so good about growing the game in different ways. And this is such a great project. So what have you learned about The Patch, and what can people be excited about if they get into town and want to go hit up that muni?
You know, I think a lot of people who love The Patch were nervous, and there's no reason to be nervous. I mean, the guys at the National did an unbelievable job. And I mean, shocking. You're right. It's interesting how, you know, it feels like the club has segued in recent years from being sort of a club of the most powerful people in America who sort of begrudgingly let everybody in 1 week a year to see their golf course and then wanted everybody out, to sort of feeling like it's, you know, I don't mean to diminish them by saying this, but like an American RNA. You know, like a group of people who are dedicated to growing the game, whether that's the, you know, Latin American tournament, the Asian tournament, the women's amateur, or the patch. So the patch is beautiful. It's a really incredible thing. And, you know, Augusta, Georgia, it's, you know, it's the clubhouse at Augusta National, but it's also the wife saver. You know, golf is the, it's all of those Gulfstreams and Challengers lined up out at that airport. But it's also John Daly at the Hooters. And so, which is just, the fact that the Hooters got torn down, I'm just devastated.
It's a shame. We got to pour out some ranch for him, you know.
Were you a T-Bones guy? Right, are you a T-Bones guy?
So my favorite thing in the world was to file my story on Sunday and go to T-Bones. Because like the dudes from REM would be in there.
Yes.
And like it was always Bones and Mike Mills. Like goats, like, you know, sorry to Mike and Jim, but like it was wild, you know, that whole scene. I love, and you could also get a table on Sunday. Like you could just walk in Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Where you had to like know the Pope to get a table Saturday night.
You're looking at two guys that did two, really our first show on site together from the parking lot of the T-Bones, and then repeated the following year right after a live band went on. It really was. It illustrates the point you're making about you go down the street and it's, you know, the most manicured golf course in America, and then just drive up the Washington Road and here you are with all walks of life, all in town for the same sort of, you know, amazing circus, but a circus nonetheless. I wonder. It's interesting. I'm curious to the people you're going to meet at the patch, because you two are both from the South. I'm a bit of a transplant here in North Carolina. I grew up on the West Coast. And when we go over to the Central Coast and, you know, my parents, my grandparents would go play, you know, Pebble or the Elite Privates over there. My brother and I'd be going down to Peter Hay and playing, you know, the par three or playing Pacific Grove, where Smiley and I went and did a YouTube project and played with a couple kids without their shoes on, walking through the mud. So you're encountering all these unique characters. Every Muni has their own set of characters. Who are the characters that we get to know in this episode on the patch?
Well, you know what, I have two answers to that. I mean, there are the specific people at the course, and one of the things, if you watch this episode, whether you watch, we did one at Van Cortlandt, we did one at Rancho Park in Los Angeles, and so it's everybody you want to meet. Like, I'm being a little coy because I don't want to ruin it, but like, sure. It's, you know, it's central casting, full stop. But I think the other thing, the most important thing is, you know, the only great stories are ones that are sort of universal, that are about the person reading it, seeing it, or hearing it. And what I hope you, who I hope you meet when you go to the patch or Van Cortlandt or Rancho, is I hope you meet yourself. Like, I hope you see you and your friends. I hope you, you know, we're trying not to show like just explicit gambling, but you know, there's some games going on. And so, you know, like, it's a family network. There's a degree to which, like, and also some of these games, like, it's a 23-minute show. I can't explain some of, some of the games are so complicated that that's all we would do. But I hope you see yourself. I hope you see your friends. I hope you see your father. I hope you see your daughter or your son. And I mean, so, like, you know, that's who I hope you see.
And I assume you're right. You're looking for like a certain theme, you know, something that the viewer can kind of take away from the experience from this golf course. But at the same time, do you have your eyes peeled for certain characters? You're like, I have got to talk to that guy. Like, is it so obvious? Like this guy doesn't know it. He's about to be a main character.
Well, I mean, there's a guy at Rancho, which was our episode that aired before this, called Nails Naylor, and just. Like that guy's a great American. They should put that guy on money, like Alexander Hamilton. You know what I mean? Like this guy should be on money. And so, you know, one, he is a totally unique person who you'll never forget meeting, and yet you know 10 of these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the sort of thing I hope we catch, is that each one of these places is a universe unto itself and is totally unique and specific, but there's also something universal about it. You know, I mean, people love golf, and it's not just something you do for entertainment on a Saturday or a Sunday. I mean, it's, you know, Smiley, like, think about the people you grew up playing golf with and who taught you the game and who you first loved the game with. I mean, in some ways, every single time you step out into a course, whether you're playing by yourself or whether, you know, you're in the PGA or the US Open or the Masters, those people are with you, like, in spirit. Like, not to get weird about it, but, like, I think that's fundamentally true about golf, and I don't think that's true about other sports that we're fans of. Like, I think because people play, that something about the relationship is fundamentally different than football or basketball or baseball.
Right. We'd be missing a trick here if we didn't press you on these games that you mentioned, because we are at time of recording, we've just spent time introducing the concept of Smiley might bring a new game to the show every week. We heard about Yellow Ball. Mm-hmm. He has another game called Rock that could be coming
soon.
I've
never heard it. Jesus.
This is, you know, there are, I know your episodes are 23 minutes. We have a longer format here. So just give us your favorite game you encountered in the patch. Well, maybe the people could take home to their own beauty.
So the patch, I don't know, because we were there just as they were opening. But, and, you know, Smiley's going to start nodding and smiling, but, like, it's not so much the game, it's the aggressive pressing.
Oh, yes.
That is just out of control. And it's like, I don't know what you got. I don't know what you guys do for a living, but, like, the people doing this, but, like, but it's nuts. Hey, by the way, we have a very special guest who is the reason I've really gotten into golf recently. My 8-year-old daughter, Wallace, who's a very good golfer.
Hey, Wallace.
Oh, you caught a bunch of fireflies.
Well, oh, great, look at there.
Great job. Wallace, what'd you think about the Masters?
It was really fun.
And who was your favorite golfer you saw?
Rory McIlroy.
Oh, there we go.
I'll see you upstairs in just a sec, babe. Okay, cool.
Wallace, like, knows how to pick a winner.
Dude,
look at her. I think Wallace not our fourth child guest on the show? I think we've had a lot of cameos and love to add her to the list. How about that?
We were in Scotland last summer, and she had never ever swung a golf club. And there's that pitch and putt at Glen Eagles.
Okay.
And so we were staying at Glen Eagles, and she and I went out one day and just sort of banging it around. And then we got to the number 9 at Glen Eagles, and I'll send you this picture afterwards. And she hit the thing, I mean, on the green, I was just off the green. We have this hilarious picture of her pointing at her ball and my ball. And then she two putted for her par and was hooked and came home and started taking lessons. I don't know if you guys, the USGA kids programs, hey, what are the pins they give, Wallace?
I got a lot of level 1 pins. I just needed one more orange pin to get to level 2.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, like, so it's the USGA kids program is incredible. And, you know, that I think that speaks to the munis, too, is that the people who are going to make sure that the game that we all love survives are – need a place to play, and very often it's these courses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
so true.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to jump in, Smiley, but I think it's interesting. That's such a cool exchange we just saw right there, because that is what Smiley and I experienced with our dads, our grandfathers growing up.
Yeah.
You know, it's something we get to hand down to our kids now, and is so much of that is the heartbeat of the Muni. So anyway, I just wanted to chime in there, because it's a cool thing to see that, a very real life example of the thing we're talking about here.
Well, if she didn't get into golf last summer, this show doesn't exist.
Wow.
For sure.
That's super cool.
Because it just, you know, we play on it's a university course, so it's not a Muni, but it's a public course here. The Ole Miss golf course is awesome. And, you know, we love it. Hey, what's your favorite thing to eat at the clubhouse at the thing?
The cheeseburger.
The cheeseburger, it's a really good cheeseburger.
It's probably fireflies.
Those are good. I'll catch you in a second.
The snacks are undoubtedly more than half the sell.
Uh-oh.
We've got the fireflies here. Here we go.
By the way, the bar, like, all right, this is going to make your audience hate me, but I feel like it's important to say, when ESPN used to broadcast the Open Championship, I was part of the small group of people who would go over and film all of like the sense of place essays and the bumps and the teases and all of that stuff for the broadcast. And so at every one of these clubs, there was a member assigned to the media, as you guys sort of know how all that works. Mm-hmm. So we would go over there and we would shoot the course before they put all the grandstands up. Mm-hmm. And so the member would always ask us, do you guys want to play? And the thing I would always tell them is, what I really want is for you and a couple of your friends and me to go have a big, long, boozy lunch at the clubhouse. So I've had these incredible meals at Muirfield, at, you know, Royal Lytham and St. Anne.
Muirfield might be one of the best boozy lunches from what I understand.
Dude, we were like polio. Like, it was bad. And so the oh my God, Wallace is right there. I'm an idiot. But the culture of a golf course, whether it's the Royal and Ancient, or it's, you know, what's that place in Austin, Texas, the Lions, that has the
I don't know.
So there's a Muni in Austin, Texas, where the
Butler Park.
No, it's like the Lions, like okay. Lions Club course or something, but the food is done by Cisco's, the restaurant on Fifth Street that was LBJ's favorite place, and it's like the best. The fact that you could go get that at the turn is insane.
Yeah.
Hey, right. So obviously, tons of experience over at the Open Championship. I definitely want to ask you what your favorite golf course of that whole time of working for ESPN was, but you kind of. You know, all these, you know, notes that we're talking about with just public golf courses and municipals and how you end up meeting so many great people at municipal golf courses. Now you'll have a lot of fun. But the one thing that I've really, really enjoyed, right, over at, whether it be the Open Championship or just golf on the other side of the pond, is how much these people really love their golf course. Like, it is their community. These golf courses are in the middle of these towns where, you know, they got the dogs walking, you know, everybody's on a walk in the middle of the afternoon. And it's just, to me, that is the truest form of like the beauty and just the community in golf that I think I've fallen in love with every single time I go over there. I assume you probably get that same type of feeling. And now, maybe a couple Muni golf courses here in the States don't quite have the view, maybe some of the history of some of the golf courses I'm referring to, but maybe just the overall love of the game and just love of being at a golf course.
Well, you know, I mean, on Sunday in St. Andrews, like they're picnics, like the course is like they're people throwing frisbees with dogs. I mean, there's an understanding that like this was not a game invented by investment bankers and quarter zips. It was in game invented by shepherds. And like some of that soul, one of the things I love about golf is how it is stronger than all of the ways in which we try to ruin it. And the game itself, you know, that the game itself is stronger than sort of our desire to monetize it. And that the relationships that exist because of a golf course, you know, especially a Muni like the Patch, those relationships are stronger. They're really strong. And they're, you know, you think about what golf means if you live in St. Andrews, you know, like Jack and Sheena, who used to own the Dunvegan in St. Andrews, you know, go Aggies. Jack would be really upset with me if I didn't say go Aggies, but like, you know, that there are people you meet who through the game that you'll be friends with forever. And I don't know, like I find it honestly, like everything we hear is that we are sort of because of technology and politics and, you know, AI, whatever, that we are hopelessly fractured. And then you go to a golf course and you find that just fundamentally isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of really interesting things to unpack, and there are things that are, you know, really detached from maybe the sphere that Smiley and I spend the majority of our time, which is talking about the pro game. And
yeah, me too.
That's exactly where I wanted to lead you next, is that it must be interesting, just, you know, sort of juxtaposing being over for all these major events, voicing all these bumps, these teases, being immersed in that tournament for the week. But also that comes with a very new set of realities in the past couple of years as it relates to the pro game. And then going and working on a project like Where It Lies, where it does connect so much more with the soul of the game. I mean, how do you kind of compare and contrast those two worlds you live in when you're working in golf?
One of the things that making this show has reminded me, I mean, I think instinctively I always knew it, as you guys probably knew it, but I feel like there's a fundamental difference between what the people in charge of packaging and monetizing golf think people like about golf and what people actually like about golf. I mean, I think that sometimes the people who are selling it to us think that we like the celebrity, and what I think we actually like is the game of golf. You know, my father's pet peeve watching a golf tournament on television was when the announcer started talking over the player and the caddy talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's a golden rule, know, right? You just gotta let them talk.
Just let them talk. I mean, to the point that when I watch the Masters of the PGA and they start playing me, I'm mad at me. I'm like, I know this is me, but I wish past me would shut up so I could see more golf shots. Uh-huh. And so, like, so I think the people who love golf love the game as much or more than the idea of the wealthy celebrities who play it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm right about that, but my sense is the people who love golf love golf.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing they like about the players they like is, I mean, sure, it's dominance. I mean, it's, you know, Tiger Woods is a unicorn. But it's also people who treat the game the way they think the game should be treated. People mm-hmm. who play the game like they play the game. People who show them on their television screen the living examples of all the lessons that they either learn from their father or that they are trying to teach to their children. So I think something about the viewing experience of golf is fundamentally different than the rest of televised sports. I mean, by the way, maybe that's hopeful and naive. I'm not sure I'm right about that, but that's my sense.
Hey, right. So in all of the different places that you went, all these munis and public golf courses, of course, I've played on the PGA Tour and met a bunch of guys. And of course, a lot of these guys have come from backgrounds that, you know, they were given a lot of different opportunities, whether it be private golf courses, you know, expert level instruction. But not everybody has that. There's been plenty of players that have grown up playing municipal golf courses and playing public golf courses. Did you ever run across any junior players or any amateur players that you kind of heard about just from maybe the people in the shop saying, hey, you need to go check out this kid. This kid could be somebody someday. Do you ever have a moment like that during this entire series?
You know, I mean, one of the things, and you well know this, I mean, the pros know everybody who comes out on their golf course and know mm-hmm. what their game is really about. You know, like, I thought our groups at the Rancho Park episode in Los Angeles, like, I thought those were really good golfers. You know, and then our last episode is in Hawaii on the North Shore. And, like, those are really good golfers. I mean,
you got to be on the North Shore playing some wind, man, right?
Dude, let me tell you. And, like, you know, all these dudes are surfing, which I don't ever know if you've tried to surf, but that's the sorest I've ever been in my entire life. Like, hurt. But you know, I mean, one of the best parts about a municipal golf course is the legend of the guy, you know, the 10 cup, you know, mm-hmm. that like that there's somebody there who's very, very good. I love that stuff. That stuff's very cool.
Right. I'm going to take you out with, you know, in the business, obviously there are softball questions, and this is a literal softball question, because a long, long time ago, when I was a production assistant at ESPN, I actually briefly played on a team with the guys from Bluefin Entertainment, Tim Horgan, and some of those. I'm trying to remember the whole crew out there. And so this is a super inside baseball question, or I should say maybe inside softball question. But I see all the stuff that Bluefoot does for ESPN and what creatively, like, their output is, it's really, really unique. And I wonder what it's like working with those guys and other projects, what that process is like creatively.
Let me tell you, those guys are nuts. And by the way, if you want something fun, you guys need to go play at the Bluefoot Invitational, which is their annual golf tournament.
Oh.
That is, it is an all time good time. I mean, it's that's okay. Some bucket list.
Okay.
You know, Tim Horgan is the guy who runs it. It's Tim and Annie and Dave and Hillary. There's a whole crew of people. Joe, they're the best. I mean, you know, my main thing are the stories I write. I take an immense amount of pride in those stories. And, you know, with my editor, Eric Neal, I take full credit for them. I have for 20 years been riding on Tim Horgan's shoulders. I mean, wow. Almost every bit of television I've ever done, from teases for national championship games and golf tournaments to a Grateful Dead documentary, all runs through their shop. They are the absolute best in the world at this. He turns down so much work that it's incredible. You know, people call him constantly. Mm-hmm. And they're these guys who, like, kind of do what they want to do and don't do what they don't want to do. And
you got to appreciate that, right?
I really appreciate it, because I don't know. Like, I'm scared to say no, because I'm scared that if you say no, people will stop asking.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, they're just really confident in the thing they do and they like to do it. You know, Horgan is the golfer on the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a pretty good golfer. You know, he's not scratch, but he's breaking eight. Like, he's a good golfer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in many ways, like, this is the show I think he always wanted to do.
Mm.
You know, I'm very much, like, they send me out to be the public face of this thing, but it is Tim Horgan's show. And, you know, he is making most of the, you know, it's Tim Horgan's show, and I'm proud to help him get it across the finish line. But he's as good as they get. Those guys are as good as they get. And, you know, we shoot it with the same crew that we shoot our show True South with. So it's all the same people. I mean, our joking name for this show for a long time was True Golf. And so, look, you know, I'm standing on these guys' shoulders and calling myself a giant. And they're really incredible. And
great softball players too, by the way, if I recall. I don't know what last however many years has done to them, but they were great back then.
I mean, how many Heinekens can one human being drink? It's like
it's right there, like, in the name. Wade, beer league,
money beers, you know? Money beers, man.
Dude, it's like Wade Boggs on a cross country flight. These guys.
That's so good. Wait, everybody go check this thing out. I know Charlie and I are going to definitely give it a watch. And last question for you. This just popped into my brain. And maybe this is too much to even try to narrow down, but Mount Rushmores are kind of a thing now, coming up with your best Mount Rushmore. Can you do it for municipal golf, for muni golf courses? Do you have a top four?
Well, number one is St. Andrews, which is a public course.
It's a good start.
That's a muni course. I mean,
great answer.
You know, by the way, the thing you're talking about the difference between golf in England and Scotland and in the United States is the number one golf course in America. You know, if you're Bill Gates, you might not be able to get on it. The number one golf course in Scotland is a public golf course. I mean, it's just sort of a fundamental different game. You know, I would say, God, that's it. I mean, I'm trying not to give, like, you know, when people ask, like, what your favorite songs are, you want to give, like, you know, you want to say Bon Iver or something, not Poison.
But you want to give, like, a good mix, you know, you want to show you're not just pouring Coca-Cola out every time. Like, a little red wine here, a little orange wine here.
But exactly, orange wine. Wow, you have got, you're a long way from fucking Vestavia Hills, dude. Holy shit. Is it organic wine?
We're just showing that we can do it all, man.
Yeah, they go, you know, you're a five tool player. I like Busch Light and Burgundy. The Ole Miss course. I love that course. There's a public course down in Destin.
Which
where
one?
We go play all the time. You know, I don't even know the name of it.
That's even better.
No, so our place is at the Grand Mariner, which is right across the street from the track, sort of down from Harbor Docks, like in old Destin proper. And there's a course right out there we drive to all the time. I literally don't know the name of it.
I think I can drive you there. Is it right there on the road?
Yes.
I think we're thinking in the same place, and I do not know the name of it either.
No idea.
Wow. I've drank a thousand beers on that golf course, though, I can tell you.
Like, it, dude. All right, so I guess the statute of limitations has run out.
This is so good.
But my friends took a picture one time. I parked there, and I thought I had done a great job parking, and we got out, and one of my friends was standing in between the hood of my truck and the end of the parking spot with his arms spread out. Like, that's how short I came up. Like, I was just like, okay.
I have buddies there's little ponds out there, and these are not good looking ponds. Like, you're not going to see the bottom of these things. It's almost black, these ponds, Charlie. And I had boys that were belly flopping into these ponds at this golf course. And we're not trying to take the love out of the Muni game here. Just letting you know, the boys had to get into the water. Had to happen. Listen.
And by the way, there's not enough penicillin in Fort Walton County or whatever the hell that is for whatever you got jumping in that lake. I mean, that is not, I mean, Jesus Christ. The but you know, they all been at Cash's liquor store. You know, I remember when I was a kid, the coolest thing in the world was those t-shirts that said I heart Cash's. But no, you know, so I guess my point is that, like, the best Muni, the best private course in the world is about exclusivity. It's Augusta National, it's Seminole, it's Cypress. Like, it, but the best public or Muni course in the country is wherever you are with the people who matter most to you in the world, is what I would say to answer your question.
All right. I love it. That is a great way to wrap things up. Yeah, it's a great way to wrap things up. And who knows, maybe Where It Lies season two, we all go to the unnamed course in Destin and bring a ton of penicillin and jump in some ponds. I'm just throwing it out there. Let's get Tim Horton on the phone.
Or we take swords and have a sword fight at the 50-yard line at either Ole Miss's stadium or Tiger LSU stadium. And we just fight till the death.
If we're going to fight to the death, we should do it at Tiger Stadium. That feels like a place where people fight to the death. Swords is great. We could get lightsaber. You know, I could get a 60-degree wedge.
You think Kiffin and Pete would come watch?
I almost said something terrible that I forget. Look, you guys know this, but I'm just on my computer where I do work Zooms. And so you forget that, like, people are going to watch this. And so your natural inclination is, I'm just trying to make the two of you laugh with no real consideration for the fact that actual human beings are going to watch this. So I will – look, I have a lot of thoughts about the Lane Kiffin situation that are probably best for us sitting at the Pastime Lounge.
I'd wager a lot of people are going to laugh at this episode. I think this is going to be an all timer. So
I think we got to dive in. I think we need to dive into LSU Ole Miss the week prior to this and have Wright on and really, you know, just get ready for war.
We need you for 15 minutes before that game, like that week, whatever that is. We got to do a college football preview on the show.
It's going to be insane. I mean, the number of people who are already calling me, like, because I have tickets, and like, it's going to be totally. I was at Tiger Stadium when Saban came back for the first time with Alabama, and there were East Baton Rouge Parish sheriffs. There were Baton Rouge police. There was LSU police. There were Louisiana State Troopers, and there were Louisiana Department of Corrections prison guards, and they were all there escorting the Alabama bus into that stadium. It was the craziest I had ever seen. Wow. So it's going to be like that.
I'm watching at home. I'm glad that you're an Ole Miss fan. There's no chance in hell I would ever wear an LSU shirt to that stadium in week three. I'll be just fine right here, safe and sound, watching it from the comfort of my own home.
Although, you know, what are we going to do? Throw a chicken salad sandwich at you? Like, it's not like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We might not win every game,
but we've never lost a party.
That's a great point.
Roll tide to that.
Where It Lies, Wright Thompson, really cool stuff. Check it out on the ESPN app, episode 3, The Patch, on a very cool project in tandem with Augusta Nationals out right now. So go check that out, and then catch up on the first two episodes and get ready for the fourth on the North Shore of Hawaii. So, Wright, thanks so much for taking the time. Looking forward to watching all these episodes.
Thanks, guys. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Wright.
We'll see you next week on the Golf Channel. This has been
The Smiley Show.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.